From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Washington, D.C. gets its first native on the way to sainthood. Jeanette DeMello talks with D.C. Register correspondent Peter Jesserus Smith. He recently attended a mass of Thanksgiving for Venerable Aloysius Schwartz. And this summer in Steubenville, it's the big 40th anniversary conferences. Dan Burke and Franciscan University's John Beaulieu discuss why teens, young adults, and catechists just keep coming back for more. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register, and Dan Burke, executive director of the Register. Thanks for joining us. Our first guest, Peter Jesserus Smith, is the Washington correspondent for the Register. Peter helped cover Pope Francis's historic visit to Jerusalem and the Holy Land last year, and today he talks with Jeanette about the cause for canonization of Venerable Monsignor Aloysius Schwartz.
Peter, it's great to have you on Register Radio again. This week we're talking about an event that you got to cover. This was a Thanksgiving Mass for a new Venerable, a new person in the church who is on the path to sainthood. This is the first native of Washington, D.C., so it's really exciting. His name is Venerable Monsignor Aloysius Schwartz. That's quite a name, but people know him by Father Al. Who's Father Al?
Well, thanks so much, Jeanette. Father Al is really an incredible saint for our times, I think. And that's just from what I got from talking to the people that whose lives he touched. And Father Al is a native of Washington, D.C., grew up right here in the capital city, experienced his call, and he went out and formed a religious order dedicated specifically to serving very poor, the poorest of the poor of children. And he's worked, you could say he's already worked miracles.
Really? Well, we'll get to those miracles shortly, and I'd like to talk about some of those people who knew him. Who did you meet at this Mass who actually knew the Venerable Father?
Oh, I met all sorts of people. I met a former graduates of his programs, members of the Sisters of Mary, the religious order that he started. One of them had been one of the girls who had gone through his program, and I talked to also with benefactors as well, people who met Father Al and decided that they were so inspired by him they would go and support his mission.
You also met a sibling, is that right?
Yes, I did. Many of Father Al's siblings are still alive.
Oh, wow.
And I met one of his sisters who recounted what it was like growing up with him and growing up in that family. And
was he always saintly?
Oh, I don't know if she went that far, but he said he was wonderful. She said having a mother and father working together, raising the family, was really key to his vocation.
Sure. Now, some of the stories you recounted in your story, which is on the Register site, ncregister.com, Venerable mm-hmm. Father Al, First Washingtonian on Path to Sainthood, that's the story you wrote for us. And one of the stories you recounted was her remembrance, his sister's remembrance of Sundays always being special, and that...
Yes.
They made that day just a day for God and a day for families, and that stuck out to me in the story you wrote. What struck you most about covering Father Al?
You know, I guess what really struck me is that one man following Jesus Christ to the best of his ability can touch so many lives. And Father Al's, he touched at least the lives of 100,000 children, 100,000 children that went from absolute destitute poverty to being brought out of that into the richness of the faith and into good, well-paying jobs, and were able to bring their families out of grinding poverty and also extend them to the faith. That's just one man. Mm-hmm. And all the people that I talked to, remembering him, you could see that they felt touched by him because he loved Jesus so much. He gave him to others, but he gave the last full measure.
Yeah,
that's really what I find so inspiring.
That's really beautiful. This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio, and I'm speaking to the Register's Washington, D.C. correspondent, Peter Jesserer Smith, and we're talking about a new venerable. So Father Aloysius Schwartz, known as Father Al, who lived from 1930 to 1992 in Washington. That's where he was from, but he spent a lot of time in South Korea, the Philippines, and Mexico, where he founded a religious order of sisters and also started boys' homes and girls' homes, boys' town and girls' town in those places. And there are many people who were recently at a massive Thanksgiving that had so much to say about Father Al. And one of the things he's really known for is this service of the poor. And Peter, mm-hmm. you had some wonderful stories you were told about his service. Can you recount one for us here today?
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the stories that really stuck out to me was involved this sister that I met, Sister Winnie, and she said she came from a very, very poor area of the Philippines, a place called Tondo, and she lived literally lived on a massive garbage dump called Smoky Mountain. It was called that at the time back in the 80s because there was so much garbage there, it would literally spontaneously combust, and you would have fires and smoke. Other people that I talked to said it was like hell on earth. Mm. But she entered his school at 10, and she said she had this. He would run with the girls. He would play games with the boys, but he would run with the girls in the school, and he encouraged running as a way to build perseverance. But she said she always loved being in his presence and running with him, except she was very short. And he was a very tall American, so she couldn't keep up. And she said it made him sad, her sad at the time. But she said in doing this work now, in helping these other children, giving them a home and the love that they otherwise couldn't have, she felt like she was running with him now. And I just thought that was a beautiful story.
Yeah,
and there was one other funny thing that she mentioned, which was that at the very end of his life, Father Al had Lou Gehrig's disease.
Okay.
And but the thing was is that he kept doing whatever he could to be a priest and to run with them, except he said he would joke that because of his illness he was starting to run behind, and eventually he was completely paralyzed. But he said he was afraid that the authorities would arrest him for chasing a bunch of
schoolgirls,
chasing a bunch of little girls around. But a good-humored man, and a man who didn't let anything stop him.
Well, his smile is really contagious. You've got some wonderful pictures on the website and ncregister.com along with your story, and the pictures are really beautiful. We've got his wonderful smile. He's pictured there with children that he was helping, and then we also have the picture of Cardinal Worrell with some of the sisters from the order he founded. Now, Cardinal Worrell celebrated the mass of Thanksgiving. How did Cardinal Worrell speak of this priest who was a venerable from his diocese?
Well, I got a chance to interview Cardinal Worrell right before the Thanksgiving Mass. Cardinal Worrell became so excited talking about Father Al because he said, you know, here we have, he's a hero. And we're in a world where people crave heroes. That's why so many people go to these movies, showing Spider-Man or any other superhero. Here you have a man who really was that kind of sort of superhero for Christ. Mm-hmm. And he said, that is something that should inspire us. Just, he had a call, and he did it well. And that should inspire us to also become saints in whatever capacity that we have, to listen to the call of Jesus Christ and to do it to the best that we can, to the, give it to the last full measure. And that was the message of the cardinal.
You know, I was really touched. I got a phone call early last week from a gentleman who was inviting one of the register staff members to attend this. And obviously I couldn't go. I'm in Denver, but you're in Washington, D.C. And so I was able to get you to this mass. And the person who called me was Tom Sullivan. And he was personal friends with Father Al. He is one of those people who became his benefactor, Father Al's benefactor. And
yes,
they first met him in the parish, and he was a priest, parish priest, who they had to their home. I imagine it was probably like a Sunday dinner or something like that. And they were just blown away by this man's holiness, but how down to earth he was. And they became lifelong friends and lifelong benefactors. So I'm really thankful to Tom for actually inviting us to this event and that you got to go. But I take to heart, Peter, those words that you shared with us about Cardinal Wuerl, saying that this should inspire us to be heroically dedicated to our task of loving God today, right where we are, in our
Absolutely.
Homes and in our environment. So thank you for sharing that message with us, for writing about it, and I encourage all of our listeners to take a look at what you've written and to follow and to pray for the intercession of Father Al.
Absolutely. He was a wonderful priest, and he shows that even if you are sick and if you feel weak, with Christ, you can do enormously great things.
All right. Thanks a lot, Peter.
When we return, have you made your summer plans yet? Well, you may want to consider a Steubenville conference. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
I'm Brian Patrick, and here at EWTN News Nightly, we're very much aware our world is changing rapidly. The news can be so troubling, but it helps to get it in the context of Catholic teaching. That's why I encourage you to watch EWTN News Nightly and to subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register. Always faithful, in-depth coverage of crucial issues like religious freedom, the sanctity of all human life, traditional marriage, and Pope Francis, his travels, his powerful homilies, and great features like one of my favorites on St. Joseph, Provider and Protector. Subscribe to the print edition of the National Catholic Register and watch EWTN News Nightly, the perfect combination for faithful Catholics who want the news, who want the truth.
For a free 3-issue trial of the National Catholic Register, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-421-3230 for your 3 free issues.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, John Beaulieu, has been sharing the love of Christ and witnessing about the power and person of the Holy Spirit with youth and adults for the past 30 years. For the past 12 years, John has been a part of the Christian Outreach Office at Franciscan University, where he currently serves as the Director of Partnerships and Engagement. John speaks to thousands of teens and adults each year at parish, diocesan, and national youth events. Today, he talks with Dan about the Steubenville conferences, this summer celebrating their 40th anniversary.
John, it's great to have you with us on Register Radio.
Dan, thanks for having me on. I couldn't think of a better place to be on radio today.
John, before we jump in and talk with you a bit about what's this exciting celebration of 40 years, I wanted Jeanette DeMello, who, of course, is our editor-in-chief at the National Catholic Register. She's had a really life-changing experience at Steubenville and in the conferences, and I just wanted her to tell our listeners a bit about that. Jeanette?
Yes, Dan, that's right. In the early 90s, I was a conference junkie, I would say. I'm from Louisiana, and in the 90s, Louisiana, New Orleans just brought a huge group of people up to the youth conferences there in Steubenville. This was before they had their regional conferences, and I think, you know, there must have been 400, you know, kids going up from Louisiana alone. And I was one of those kids, and it was life-changing, as you said. I mean, I think it was there the first time that I ever answered a call to look into my vocation, whether or not I had a religious vocation. It was there that I made commitments to prayer, to praying daily, and it was there that I made some of the best friends that I still have. And of course, later I decided to go to Steubenville as a student. I graduated from Franciscan University, and I would have never known about the university had it not been for those summer conferences. They profoundly blessed me, and I'm really, really grateful. So it's great to be talking about these 40 years.
John, before we jump in any further, I think it'd be important to explain what is a Steubenville conference for those who haven't had the blessing of attending one.
Sure. This year, Franciscan University, through their Christian Outreach Office, which I'm a member of, will sponsor 29 events across the United States and Canada to help Catholics grow in their Catholic faith and experience the love of Christ. A Steubenville conference is, you know, we use dynamic worship and impactful preaching, all rooted in the sacramental experience of Eucharist and confession, to draw people into that encounter with Christ, to strengthen them on their faith journey, to prepare them to go out and share the faith, and really help live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, our mission here in the office lines up with our university's mission, which is to go rebuild the church. And a Steubenville conference, whether it's a youth conference for our high school youth, a young adult conference for college-age young people, or one of our five adult conferences, they're all geared towards building up personal faith and equipping people to serve in a more effective capacity within the church.
John, my family has also been affected by the conferences. I've never been to one, but my wife, daughter, and youngest son attended one in Atlanta, where apparently at some point during the conference, they asked young men and women who felt a call to priesthood or religious life to come forward to be prayed over. And he actually got up out of his seat to the surprise of my wife and ran down to be prayed for. And is that a common experience?
It is. Well, I can tell you, I had the same joy watching my own son, who attended the conferences as a high school student. Twice I saw him get up and, you know, to have him come forward and say that I'm open to the fact that God might be calling me to serve him heroically through the priesthood. Now, that's something that's part of every one of our youth conferences. We do a vocations call for the young men and for young women, and we've been blessed over the years. The Caris study that's done out of Georgetown University, when they have done a poll of all the recent ordinands in America, usually between 10 and 15% of the young men who are ordained attribute a Steubenville conference to as being an important part of their vocational discernment. And so there are literally hundreds of priests serving across the United States who've heard their call for the first time at Steubenville. Obviously, they went on to great formation and greater discernment, but I think just inviting young men and casting that vision that God might be calling you to do something amazing has been very fruitful for us at our conferences and has really helped the church in its efforts to find young men who are willing to say yes to that call when Jesus calls them to that that life.
It's pretty exciting. Now, over at ncregister.com, we have a story up called 40 Years of Life Changing Catholic Conferences by Celeste Behe, and it says that you fueled the faith of more than 52,000 deacons, seminarians, priests, young adults, catechists, adults, that sort of thing. Is that, I mean, that's an amazing number. Do you see that continuing on pace?
Yeah, you know, we are putting effort into raising people's awareness of who we are, because as much as we can, rejoicing with the Lord, we do. We're very grateful for being able to serve over 50,000 Catholics. When you look at the actual number of Catholics in the United States, we're hitting, less than 1%. And so, there's a greater need right now for us to support the efforts of the new evangelization through our conference outreach. And we are adding this summer, for the first time, a conference in New York City. Next summer, we're going to be adding a youth conference in the Milwaukee area. We're adding a young adult conference in Atlanta next year. Another young adult conference is coming up, will be added in Houston. So we're hoping to add significant numbers of more of youth conferences and young adult conferences, because we see the majority of the people who are attending our conferences right now come to one of our youth conferences. We'll serve 50,000 teens this year. We'll serve another, 2,000 young adults and another 3,500 adults at our adult conferences. And when you look at the church, though, we're still losing so many of our young people during their young adult years. So we want a conference outreach that really helps those young adults navigate the tricky waters of that time in their life and keeps them connected to the church in a way that keeps their faith intact and keeps them on that journey with Christ.
You know, John, we speak of these numbers, especially that high number of youth, teens who are basically able to attend these conferences throughout the country. The numbers of people is so impressive. And when I was there, I just remember that I felt like I was a part of something. Being a part of something big, having so many people there is a huge incentive when you go home and you know I'm a part of something big. Now, we talk about a lot of youth, but, you know, the conferences also are for other people. Maybe we should talk a little bit about some of the other audiences.
Sure. On the young adult side, of course, you know, you're talking about a very diverse population. And we target with our conferences the 18 to roughly 29, although we don't check IDs. People who are older than 29 can get in. you know, and really, you have some that are in college. You have some that are just, they're searching. Is college for me? They're in between. You have people right out of college. You have young married people. You have, you know, people who are working full-time, people who are still looking for their first job. And so their needs are very, they're all across the gamut. And yet their spiritual hunger is very high. And usually during this time of life, they're having a lot of questions about, hey, where am I really going to land with the faith and own it as an adult? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our conferences on the young adult side, we call them Encounter, and we're really trying to land young people, these young adults, in a place where they can connect back to their parishes, mm-hmm. that they can feel like they're a part of a community, and even learn how to build community for themselves if they're in a place where there is no other young, where there are no other young adults available. Right. And then with our adult conferences, you know, we have five very diverse conferences. Our first one every summer is the Power and Purpose Conference, and that's really to help introduce a lot of Catholics into who the Holy Spirit is for us. You know, as we look out and we see the church in the working of the church, you know, for me, I a lot of times I see spiritual work being done with human effort, and even people who are trying to follow Christ out of their human weakness rather than out of the power of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the ability to have deep faith that will lead us into deeper conversion. But we need to be able to pray and release the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and really learn how to make him the interior master. So, you know, with that as well as building up the individual is empowering them to go out and do the work of evangelizing and leading their friends and family to Christ.
This is Dan Burke with Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. We're talking with John Beaulieu, who is the Director of Partnership and Engagement at Franciscan University, about 40 years of amazing success with life-changing Catholic conferences. John, what is the secret sauce? Is this the legacy of Father Scanlon? Is this the openness to the Holy Spirit? I mean, as a Protestant, I saw big movements come and go, like, you know, men's movements and filling stadiums and all this mm-hmm. stuff going on, but they all faded. But you guys, this thing is not fading at all.
Well, we stand on the shoulders of giants, and of course, the probably the largest of them all is Father Michael Scanlon, who in 1975, just out of obedience to the Holy Spirit and his prayer, was just led to say, we need to offer a weekend experience for priests to come and be renewed and strengthened in their priesthood. And so he spread the word through all of his channels. They put on a conference. They really didn't even have a schedule for the event. They just said, well, we'll show up, we'll pray, and if somebody feels inspired to preach or gets a message, go forward and mm-hmm. share what that is with the men. And, you know, it was a very powerful experience for all the men involved. And at the end of the conference, one of the priests stood up after Mass and said, Father Mike, you need to put on something like this for our young people. And, of course, Father Mike was kind of hit like a deer in the headlights. He said, I don't know about young people. I don't do youth ministry. What is this? How will we even get them here? And they all the men overwhelmingly, you know, responded with, if you put on this event, we'll bring our young people. You know, and so in faith, another step of faith, Father Mike, the next year had our first conference for young people, and that quickly grew and spread. You know, and I hear what you're saying. There's a lot of times when things start off with a lot of vigor in the church, and then within a few years it's gone. It's like, well, what happened? And I think, you know, we have tried to remain true to that basic spiritual direction that Father Mike gave, which is stay open and docile before the power of the Holy Spirit, because He is the activating agent in all that we do. It is not a human effort that we perform here to get these conferences where they are. Every year we start with a blank page and we submit and just go before the Lord, and especially ask the Holy Spirit, you know, give us insight. Where should we go? What should our themes be? What should we be talking about? Who should we have on our stage? You know, we prayerfully consider every aspect of our conference and have literally thousands of people across the country praying for us all the time to make sure that we're walking in the Lord's will. And, you know, as Father Mike said, you know, I had a chance to talk with him recently, and he said, look, as long as we're good disciples, we'll be able to lead people.
John, that's a great note to transition. We have just about 30 seconds.
Sure.
And folks can find out more in the article, 40 Years of Life-Changing Catholic Conferences, over at ncregister.com. But John, also, where else can they go to sign up or learn where the conferences are in the future and that sort of thing?
Yes, our website is steubenvilleconferences.com. And there you'll be able to find all the information about our youth, young adult, and adult conferences, how to be involved, what are the upcoming events. You know, there's still space at many of the conferences this summer, so it's not too late to get on board. You know, like Jeanette said, you know, her story is typical of the thousands of people that come to conferences every year. God does amazing things. He touches heart. He stirs up faith. He opens the eyes of the blind to see Him more clearly. He is doing miracles every summer, and we are grateful that we're able to serve the church in this capacity. And very grateful to be able to be with you today to talk about it.
Well, John, you've gotten me excited. So it's been a real experience to talk with you about this and to see what God's doing. Thank you so much for all the good that you're doing for the church.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Jeanette.
Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us this time on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, Dan, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.